The reading is taken from Romans 5, 1 to 8, and it's a passage which has the heading, Peace and Hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's just hold that last sentence in our minds for a moment before Jean comes to speak. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen.
Thank you so much, Maggie. Just want to give you space to perhaps close your eyes and think of what is the moment of your greatest bravery. Just have a think. When my parents died a few years ago, I had the task of clearing our old family house. And some of you will have done that. It's quite a poignant thing. That means it's sort of sad and yet moving and beautiful in another sort of way as you come across things you didn't perhaps know existed. And I came across a photograph of someone. Can you see it? No, you can't. So here we go. Hopefully you can see it. There we go. This photograph here is 108 years old. I just sort of came across it. And it's still remarkably sharp and clear. This is John, newly joined up, looking very young and slightly anxious, as he would. He's only 18 years old then. And that's a sort of slightly sharper, just of his face. He served in the Royal Air Force during the First World War, and he served mainly in North Africa. He survived the war, and he went on to be, in fact, the father of six children, including my dad, who was his eldest. But John was never the same after that war. He was caught in a gas attack, and it damaged his lungs badly. He also, when he was in Egypt, contracted amoebic dysentery. And that's not something you ever want to have. And so he had chronic health problems from then on. At least that's what I've been told, because I never met him. He died in Guernsey, which is where I'm also from, but he died in 1943 during the Second World War, while the island was actually occupied. And I knew very little else about him until I had to clear my parents' house. And then I found something else, this envelope. It looks quite mysterious. On His Majesty's service, and you might not be able to see, but in the bottom left-hand corner, it says, from the War Office, 1914-1918. Inside was a letter And it's again War Office, 1914-18, Royal Air Force. And in case you can't read it, because the calligraphy is very neat, first aircraftman J.A. Degari, my granddad, was mentioned in a dispatch from General Sir Allenby for gallant and distinguished service in the field. I have it on command from the King to record His Majesty's high appreciation of the services rendered. Now, what does it mean to be mentioned in a dispatch? I'm asking that. That's called a rhetorical question. You don't need to shout it out. But just a quick show of hands. How many of us here do know what it means to be mentioned in dispatches? Okay. It tends to be mainly older people. There's a few who do also know. So in the First World War, British commanders in the field were required to write regular reports, known as dispatches. And they were sent to the War Department in London, and they'd report on the events, the activities, the battles or campaigns which had taken place under their area of command. And if the commander writing a dispatch considered that an individual had been especially brave or noteworthy in the field of combat, they were perhaps worthy of a mention in his dispatch. And then that person was deemed to have been mentioned in a dispatch. And names written by commanders in the field of dispatches were published in the London Gazette. And to this day, details of a person mentioned in a dispatch can be traced that way. And those who were mentioned in a dispatch could wear this. It's very understated. It's actually tiny, a little oak leaf decoration as a sign of it. Well, I didn't know any of that. This is all news to me since my parents died, let alone my grandparents. And over 100 years after it happened, I found this letter. And the story of my own grandfather became a little bit more real to me. And the fact that it was 100 years ago doesn't really matter at all. What counts is that a nervous young man found unexpected reserves of courage and resilience when he was in a place of danger and great fear. And there's three things that I noticed that I just wanted to point out to you. First of all, so it gives his name, and then it says, for gallant and distinguished service in the field. Now, at the beginning, Joe mentioned the name remembrance. We don't often that, but even less often do we say, oh, thank you for being so gallant. I mean, you might say ironically, we tend not to use it for real, or even distinguished. But what does it mean? Distinguished means you're not just blending in like everyone else. You stand out. It was distinguished. It was different. And it was gallant. Anyone know what another word for gallant would be? Brave. Gallant sort of sounds a bit distant from that, but brave means when things are going very badly wrong, there are some people stand up and do the brave thing. So I was impressed to find out my grandfather was gallant and he distinguished himself. And then the letter goes on, I have it in command from the King to record His Majesty's high appreciation of the services rendered. So the King, who was George V at the time, was really grateful to my granddad, which is nice to know. They'd never met. But because he'd read a dispatch, he thought, well, I want this remembered. And so a record had to be kept. And there was this letter that then was sent. But there was also, it was publicly shown by being printed in the paper then. And the final thing, it's signed off by Winston Churchill, because he was then the Secretary of State for War in the First World War. He went on to be quite busy in the Second World War, I seem to remember as well. But the funny thing is, or the strange thing perhaps it would be better, all that happened and I never knew about it until I found this letter. And then I joined the dots between the photo and this very precious document inside. It had happened, it was real, but I'd never heard of it. Because it's not only my grandfather who's died, but turns out King George V has died. And so has Winston Churchill. And so one could easily lose the record. Until I read this piece of paper, I didn't even understand what had happened. And I guess there were tens of thousands of brave people just like that, mentioned in a dispatch, as well as those who were especially brave and were decorated with medals, who are now forgotten. Just as today, there are millions of lives that have been ended or irreparably damaged and scarred by wars. But I also believe there is a king even greater than George V. I'm a vicar, so you'd expect me to believe this. The God of heaven takes note of our little lives. I believe we all matter to him. And I think he especially notices bravery, because it's a difficult thing. I believe the King of all keeps a record of our lives because he cares, because we are actually made in his image. Sometimes that image is scarred and broken and disrupted by war, but we are made in his image and he cares. And that's why in our Bible reading that Maggie read to us, we heard of another young, brave man. He was called Jesus. And for me, the astonishing thing is not just that he died for his friends, but what Paul says is that he died for his enemies. St. Paul puts it like this: very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. That's someone who's really good. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. And I suppose we're remembering that on Remembrance Sunday. People have been willing to die. Some, of course, they didn't want it to happen. They weren't especially trying to make it happen. But some people are so brave, they give their lives, and knowing that will be the cost for others. But usually it's for a mate or a colleague, or knowing they're protecting their family. But Paul writes, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." In other words, when we were his enemies, Jesus made that ultimate sacrifice. And even though that was 2,000 years ago, God took note of what his son, Jesus, had done. And he made it the way by which we can be forgiven and reconciled, made friends again with God. And for his gallant and distinguished service in a field just outside Jerusalem, God recorded it. And that's what we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Bible, the gospel stories. And I believe it can make a difference in our lives right now, even though it happened such a long time ago. And all we need to do is put our trust in Jesus. And just as we've come into an inheritance of peace or relative peace because of people being willing to fight, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he invites us simply to put our trust in him. Jesus said on one occasion, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life in all its fullness. And that's what war does. It steals. It steals so much. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we do remember that. But we also remember Jesus said, I've come that they may have life in all its fullness. Amidst the darkness, some people's outstanding courage in the field is truly heroic. And it's right that today we remember and we thank them. But for me, top of the list is Jesus. In his life, death, and resurrection, he's won a hope for all humanity to be restored to God. And so, in closing, this Remembrance Day, we call to mind all those who've died in every conflict. It's a day of sorrow and seriousness, but also with a sense of real thanksgiving as we remember those who've lived and died while serving others. And I hope that today is also an opportunity to entrust our own lives into the hands of God, who in Jesus has come near and loved us. So we're going to sing a couple of songs that help us connect with some of those truths.
Brokenness, hope for despair. Lord, in the suffering, this is our prayer. Bread for the children, justice, joy, peace. Sunrise to sunset, your kingdom
in our darkness.
nations rise and thunders roar. I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king above the flood. And I will be still and know you are God. Find rest, my soul, in oceans rise and thunders roar. I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king above the flood. And I will be still and know you are God.
Find rest.
We come now to our prayer of penitence. Let us confess to God the sins and shortcoming of the world, its pride, It's selfishness. It's greed. Let us confess our share in what is wrong and our failure to seek that peace which God wills for all his children. And we say together, most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to change what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we're coming towards our 2-minute silence. Why does this happen at 11 o'clock? Well, it was at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month that World War I ended in 1918. The guns fell silent. The killing stopped. This was an armistice, an agreement to stop fighting. And when World War I ended, people wanted to mark this occasion with a silence on Armistice Day, which has been marked ever since. And that's on the 11th of November each year. But many people also observe Remembrance Sunday on the second Sunday in November, the nearest Sunday to Armistice Day. And at 11 o'clock today, there'll be a 2-minute silence to remember those who have died in war. Ours is not a silent world, is it? There's noise all around us, so silence is special. In this silence, we remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, laying down their lives so that those who came afterwards could enjoy freedom. And as John said, for Christians, this is a reminder of our Savior Jesus Christ, who laid down his life, who died on a cross for others, so that we could be free from sin. standing to make our act of commitment, which will be on the screen at the front of the church. And we say together, Lord God, our Father, we pledge ourselves to serve you and all people in the cause of peace, for the relief of want and suffering, and for the praise of your name. Guide us by your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Give us courage. Give us hope. And keep us faithful now and always. Amen. And we stay standing to sing the national anthem. And this is a Celtic blessing. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. And now we have our final hymn, Now Thank We All Our God.